Welcome to Bible Line, a ministry of Calvary Community Church. Our podcast is dedicated to the clear teaching of God's Word. We aim to help people find Jesus Christ and train believers through the study of the Bible. We would love to feature your questions on the show. You can email us at questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. If you'd like to support the show, you can go to calvaryoftampa.org/donate. Catch new episodes every Thursday. We pray today's episode is a blessing to you.
Alrighty then, welcome back to Bible Line, the weekly podcast that aims to answer your questions and bring you very exciting interviews. Today we are answering the question, do I have to give my life to Christ to be saved? Now, many people have heard this. They've heard that they have to make Jesus the Lord and Master of their life. They have to give their life to Him. Maybe they've even heard it as you have to, die to self and live to Him. And, you know, all of these are great truths, but not in relation to getting saved. If we were to put salvation and service into two separate categories, I think we would better understand why we do not have to give our lives to Christ to be saved. Salvation is free. It's a free gift, and service is something that costs somebody something. That individual who wants to serve the Lord has to give up things that they want to do, and we'll get into that in today's episode. But I'd want to start by going over what salvation is, and I also just want to answer the question directly. No, a person does not have to give their life to Christ for salvation, and this is not taught in the Bible. One of the things we try to do here on the show is give you the answers from the Bible. This is important because if we're getting answers that are not in the Bible, then it's man giving us those answers and not God's Word. I believe the Bible is infallible. I believe that it is God's Word, that He used men to record His thoughts. He kept their own literary styles, and we can see that. But it is a very special and unique book because it's not just the product of men. I believe these are God's words written to us. And so when we want to answer questions like this, I like to go to the scripture and see exactly where it is. And I hope you as the listener can appreciate that you're getting scripture, because it's not just my thoughts and ideas or the training that I've received that makes me believe this way. I believe that you do not have to give your life to Christ to be saved, because I believe the Bible does not teach that. So let's look at a couple different passages here about what the Bible says salvation is, and specifically, we'll look at the words that are used. So the first set of verses I want to look at is in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 30 through 31. Here's what those verses say. "And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said," and here's what you should mark, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Now, this is Paul and Silas. They're in jail. The jail has sprung open miraculously, and the guard is about to kill himself because he knows, as far as his responsibilities go, he has let these prisoners free, and he's going to lose his life because he's let this happen. He's about to kill himself. He's about to end his life, and Paul and Silas say, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." And the jailer was like, "What?" Like, he's shocked that they haven't left, and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" And we know the context is saved from sin, saved from the wrath of God. I mean, Paul and Silas have been singing all night. I don't know if their songs had any kind of doctrinal teaching in them. I would assume maybe, but I don't know for sure. But we know why it's addressing salvation and not just saved from the Romans that would have killed him. He's saying, "What must I do to be saved? My soul to be saved?" And this is their answer. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." This is interesting. All a person has to do, according to what Paul's testimony is here, you just got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that that Philippian jailer had enough knowledge to know what he was believing on Christ for the payment of his sin, that he did die on the cross and rise again. And look in verse 32. "When they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house." And in verse 33, it says, "And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and he was baptized. He and all his, straight away." And I don't think that Paul would have baptized someone that didn't understand the gospel. So I think this man understood. There's nothing here indicating that he also gave his life to Christ. There's nothing here saying that he was going to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Master of his life. That's all fuzzy terminology that you might hear in a motivational or a convicting way, but it's not Bible. A person who is putting the Lord as the master of their life doesn't mean that they're saved. What have they done about Jesus Christ? Because they have a sin payment that needs to be paid. And if they're trusting in themselves making Jesus the Lord of their lives, they haven't taken care of that sin problem. They need to believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sin, and that's it. Nothing else. We don't want to add to that or take away from it. But look what it says here in verse 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. See, he had a burden lifted off of him. He was able to rejoice because he had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is all a person has to do to be saved. Now let's look in John chapter 1 in verses 12 through 14. John 1:12 says this, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." And here's what you need to mark. "Even to them that believe on his name." Verse 13, "Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Now this is very interesting. Verse 12 at the very end says, "Even to them that believe on his name." So the ones that believe on Jesus Christ receive the power to become the sons of God. They're saved, okay? All they had to do was believe. Verse 13 is also very interesting. "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man." This is not a birth that happens. This new birth that occurs when a person believes is not a product of the individual's own effort, okay? It's not a product of the individual giving something up to get something. We talked about the word repentance and what it means biblically a couple of episodes ago. Well, that's important to mark here. Repenting is just changing your mind, metanoia, a change of mind. Right here in John 1:12, those that believe, they become children of God, and it's not because they gave their life or gave up something to receive it. They just simply believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were born into the family of God. Not of blood, as verse 13 says, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. See, if I gave my life to Christ, that's the will of my flesh. That's my desire. I am taking the life that I could live. I have the liberty to live for myself, but I'm forfeiting that to live for Christ. If that resulted in a new nature being born, in all of my sin being paid, well, then why did Jesus have to come and die on the cross? It would just be that he would expect all those who really want to get saved, they would give their life to him. Now, the Bible doesn't teach that. So why do we say that? We shouldn't be saying it. We should not be using phrases like, give your life to Christ to be saved. But it's very common, especially since someone asked the question. Now, look at our next passage here. It's in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Here's verse 5. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done," you should mark that, "but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." There's nothing in here about living a clean life in order to be saved, or giving up your life to Christ to be saved. In fact, this passage specifically tells us that we have not been saved by works of our own righteousness, which we have done. If you look back there in Titus 3:5, you'll see that. Specifically, we're saved by his mercy. God has demonstrated mercy unto all mankind in that he has lifted his son up, Jesus, and he says, "All who believe on him, I will give you the free gift of everlasting life. I will impute my righteousness to your account." And that settles it. That has nothing to do with service. Service is, well, now because you're saved, you should serve the Lord. And we'll cover that in a minute. But Titus 3, 5 through 7 here, especially in verse 7, it says, being justified by his grace. That word justified, we'll look at it a little bit further when we get to a couple more verses. But keep that in your mind as we move forward here. Look in Isaiah now. Isaiah chapter 64 in verse 6. This is another important passage that tells us about all of our works, all of our righteousness that we can give to Christ. Is giving your life to Christ a work? Yes. We know that believing on Christ is not a work because of what Romans 4:5 says. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Believing on Christ is not a work. It's a decision that you make to believe on him that he paid for your sin. But giving your life to Christ, that's definitely a work. And if a lost person is saying, well, this one work that I can do is on the same level of Christ's death on the cross, that's heresy. Because Christ had precious blood that was shed. He was born of a virgin. He did not have a sin nature. He was perfect. He was God in the flesh. We cannot take our works and put them on the same level as the righteousness of God. How do we know that? Isaiah 64:6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Wow, the poetry that is just in that one verse. This is a description of all that man has to offer. Would me giving my life to Christ before I'm saved fit in this category? Yeah, that's a righteous thing, but it's all as a filthy rag in the eyes of the Lord, because it is not perfection. It is not complete payment for sin. Giving your life to Christ is something you should do after you're saved, not to be saved, and the Bible teaches that. Let's look in Revelation 22 in verse 17. Again, some great verses that we see here. Revelation 22, 17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, ooh, I like this, let him take the water of life, underscore it, mark it, take it to the bank, freely is the word that is used. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Has nothing expected of you in that statement. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely, not with the entry fee of giving your life to Christ, not with the asterisk that says, well, if you don't persevere to the end, you weren't really saved. Friend, it's a free gift, and praise God for that. Some great verses there, right there in Revelation 22, 17. Then the last one we'll look at about salvation here before we get into service is in Galatians chapter 2 in verse 16. Galatians chapter 2 in verse 16. Here's what it says. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. By any works, a person cannot be justified. What does that word justified mean? I'm so glad you asked. Here's what it means. To render just or innocent, free, relieved of all charges, justified. Think about it this way, just as if I've never sinned. So we look at Galatians 2:16, and we read that again. Knowing that a man is free, rendered just, innocent. Here's what it says. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. That's how a person gets saved. Not giving their life, not giving up something to get something. That's not how it works. It's a free, free, free gift. And that is how specifically we experience justification. And isn't that a great thing? Now look, we're going to transition to what a believer is challenged to do after they're saved. They should give their life to Christ after they're saved, but not to stay saved or to get saved. It's an act of service. It's an act of love, an attitude of thankfulness and humility that is demonstrated by the believer. Not to be saved or to stay saved, but because we have been saved by this amazing grace. Look, if you will, in Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 12, in verses 1 through 2. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says this, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, and that word beseech is better understood as beg. I beg you, therefore, brethren. Now, we're talking about saved men here when we say brethren. I'm talking about those that are a part of this body of Christ, not lost people. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Salvation cost you nothing. Service will cost you everything. See, here it says it's your reasonable service, and he's already talking to saved people. Look at verse 12. Excuse me. Look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So in order for us to become more effective witnesses for the Lord, in order for us to be able to complete the will that the Lord has for each believer individually, we have to submit. We have to humble ourselves. We have to serve. This is where a person is challenged to give their life to Christ. Not to get saved, but because you're already saved and you want to be used by God. Now look in Luke chapter 14, verses 27 through 30. Jesus is talking here. In some of your Bibles, you may see a paragraph header that says the cost of discipleship. This is very important to underscore. Discipleship, guys. We're not talking about the cost of salvation, okay? Come unto me freely. Come after me is to follow him, and that will cost you. Specifically, look in verse 27 of Luke 14. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, not unto me for salvation, after. And he says it. Jesus says it. Cannot be my child, my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid that foundation and is not able to finish it, all that beheld it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Jesus is drawing a comparison here. The man who goes and starts a building project has to count his cost for materials and make sure he has enough so that the projects he starts, he can finish. Now, the comparison here is not your salvation has been started by your faith in Christ and then you have to finish it with service. No, the book of Hebrews tells us that we are saved to the uttermost, those that believe on him. He sanctifieth forever. He has sat down. There is nothing left to do in regards to a person's salvation once they have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Therein, it's eternally secure. We've had many episodes about that. But this is talking about service. You start, you say, I want to serve the Lord. So you start that building project, so to speak. You better make sure you count what it's going to cost you to continue and finish well. It has nothing to do about your salvation. But it will cost you. It requires submission, and you need to make sure that you're ready for that. That is what we're talking about when we say give your life to Christ, not to be saved. It's an act of service. The last verse we'll look at here, and then we'll go through some comparison terms. Matthew 16, 24 through 26 says this. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And also note, they deny himself to come after him and take up his cross and follow me, as the rest of what verse 24 says. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, we're not talking about this person would lose their eternal life, but to follow Christ, in some cases, especially in the time when this was written, people were going to lose their lives to follow after him. Not because it was a requirement of salvation, but it was a requirement to be a disciple. Discipleship is very costly. I remember when I started thinking about if I wanted to serve the Lord with my life, and I really did think, you know, all the things that I may consider fun, you know, sinly pleasures of the world or selfish things that I could spend my life trying to gain, all of those things had to begin to pale in comparison of serving the Lord. I had to be disciplined. I had to look at the things of the world and say, no, I want to do the things of God. But that has nothing to do with my salvation. It has everything to do with my service, being a disciple. And I hope you can see the difference there. But I want to read you this very good comprehensive list. If you go to BibleLineMinistries.org/articles, you can search for this and just search the keyword discipleship. And you'll find this list I'm going to read to you. It's extremely simple when you look at the difference between salvation and discipleship or service. So, you know, verses for salvation, we covered all of those. We covered most of those. But you've got John 3, 16 through 18, John 6, 47, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. What are the conditions? There's one, believe on Christ. That's it, in order for a person to get saved. There's two groups in salvation, those that believe and those that believe not. You can see that in John 3:18. Here's some characteristics. Come to Christ. Free. Cannot be lost. Depends upon Christ's faithfulness, not your faithfulness. It's eternal. All believers are not all disciples, because we can have a carnal Christian, someone who does not walk with the Lord, who's not a disciple. Salvation is through the sacrifice of Christ. Here are some terms that we can best understand what it means to be saved. Believe on Christ as your Savior. Trust in him. Receive that free gift. Okay? Now when we look at discipleship, we have a different set of conditions. There are many. One has to hate their father, mother, wife, and own life. And that hate is a comparative term contrasted with the love for God. We don't actually hate those people, but we put the things of God higher than those things. They have to bear his own cross, come after Christ, forsake all that he hath, follow Christ, deny self, lose his life for Christ's sake. And that doesn't mean they physically lose their life, although they may, and we may see that persecution in our lifetime, and there are certainly Christians around the world that are losing their lives today, standing up for Christ. But that's also in a figurative way too. The things that you would have done to fulfill self, you die to those things. And there's two groups within discipleship as well, those that serve and those that serve not. Here's some characteristics: coming after Christ, counting the cost. Discipleship can be lost, not your salvation, but if you're not faithful, you're not counted up as a disciple. It depends on your faithfulness. It's temporary. All disciples are not believers. We see that with Judas. Judas was a disciple, but he didn't believe. Very interesting. It has to be through sacrifice of self. It's about service. It's about work. Here are some terms that are tied to discipleship, not salvation. Commit your life to Christ. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. Surrender your life to Christ. Put Jesus on the throne. Be converted. Follow Christ. Obey Christ. Give. Okay? So those terms have nothing to do with our salvation. They have everything to do with walking with the Lord. I hope that you can see this comparison because it's very important. So do you have to give your life to Christ to be saved? No, you do not. You cannot do that to be saved. I wouldn't even advise that you try. And I pray that you have made both decisions that God has given us to make, to believe on his son and to follow him. And that's very important. Remember, a disciple is one who makes a conscious decision to follow Christ in the pursuit of becoming a fisher of men. Please don't mix those two up. I look forward to seeing you next week right here on Bibleline.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. As a thank you to our listeners, we want to give away a free Bible every month this year. To enter, send us an email with your Bible question. Our email address is questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Be sure to subscribe to the show and check back each Thursday for new episodes. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.